it's how you feel. Mm-hmm. It's your symptom, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at life, it's about what symptoms are you experiencing? Are you happy or not? Are you content or not? Do you want more in life? Then you have to work for it. Mm-hmm. I wanted more in life. I've always wanted more. I've always wanted to level up, which means I have to work for it. Nothing is ever given. No, I'm not entitled to anything. I deserve everything I work for.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's going on, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 97, and I am yet again absolutely excited that you're here with me today. My guest today was the Titan, the man himself, Nick Kamalassos. He's a former Marine Raider, recon, entrepreneur, philanthropist, YouTuber, you name it, it doesn't stop there. Our conversation, it was so deep and so wide at the same time. We talked about a lot of different things, and we went really deep on a lot of different things, all the way from his career transition out of having felonies into getting into the military. And it's insane what he did to get into the military. After, like, you wouldn't think the military would accept such an individual. The way he describes that is you have to listen to this conversation just for that. His transition out of the military, how and why he helps people, his mindset about leaving an 8 to 10K a month job to join the military, and then education on top of that. Like, the fruits of knowledge poured so much in this conversation. I was so excited to share it with you all today. You can find this conversation and all the other contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast. And you can find me on Instagram at christophlewis. So without further ado, let's get into this heavy hitting episode. Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
It is my honor and privilege.
Yeah, man. It's funny to hear you say that because I've been really looking forward to this. You've done some incredible things, and I just absolutely love networking with other people that are going out there, creating content, helping other people, have endured their slew of their own obstacles, but they're still going out there and helping other people. So for all those reasons and more, I was so excited to speak with you.
I appreciate that. For me, it doesn't seem... I don't know. It doesn't seem like that to me. For me, it just seems forward. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really feel like I've really achieved anything other than just I've kept moving forward.
Yeah.
And I haven't quit. I haven't quit yet.
Yeah. And those are so good points. And I think one of the things that resonates with me, like, drastically is the fact that I think, like, when you're doing it yourself, you don't realize, like, how awesome it is. You know what I was like from the outside? I think when people, they look in and they go, wow, this guy's done a lot. And to you, it's just like, you just keep on leaning forward, like you said, and you don't quit. But that's, I don't think, like, everybody has that mentality. But I mean, like, what do you think separates you from other people? Why did you acquire that mentality? And is that based on your experiences pre-Marines, during it, after, everything you've endured? Is that something you've built upon, or is that something you've kind of always felt like you've had?
You know, I think tenacity and grit comes out of struggle, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have a choice. And mine, and I don't want to say unfortunately, but maybe fortunately/unfortunately, mine was built out of youth, right? Like, my childhood. Mm-hmm. And nothing was handed to me. Like, we grew up poor.
Yeah.
I grew up eating that, like, the old school Quaker oatmeal made in a steel pot.
Yeah.
You know, with no honey, no sugar, just like,
oh, that's disgusting.
Oh yeah, man. As a kid too. You know what I mean?
Oh God.
Yeah. And that kind of paints a picture, right? And we moved around every 6 months. I make the joke that my mom was running from the law. She wasn't, she was just chasing cops. So she was supporting me and my little brother. But, you know, it just, we didn't, logistically and monetarily, we didn't have it easy, right?
Sure.
We didn't live in good neighborhoods. We didn't go to good schools. Like, as far as love and having a good, like a family and extended family, like, that was there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I had people that truly loved me, Were they all super functional and super like stable and healthy? No, but they did truly like come Christmas time, we would go to my grandmother's house and we knew that like the family was together. Everybody loved each other. It was awesome. But as far as just growing up, I mean, you have two options, right? You can allow your lifestyle or the system mm-hmm. that you're being raised in to define you and to define your success, or you can have some grit and tenacity and push back. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just something in me, but I always push back. Mm-hmm. And I push back so much that it was sometimes I push back when I shouldn't. Like breaking the law. Yeah. Or if it was a cop that was chasing me.
Yeah. I think it's so funny to hear you say that, because like I had a lot of occurrences as well like that when I was growing up as well. And man, it's like I was thinking about the bland food and I was like, that's the same like probably shit I think I ate in like Sear school, like when they like feed you like a dog. Yeah. You know, I was like, that's disgusting. So I just had to like say that before I move on, like, yeah. Oh my god. But oh my gosh, yeah, to be raised like that, and like I ran from the cops. I did a lot of dumb stuff. And I think like, I actually just released a podcast episode about it, about like the balance in life. And like my mom was always telling her, bless her heart, she listens to these, sorry. But she always told me like balance in life. And to me, it was like, I didn't have a balance in life. And I was going like hard like that, crazy, running from cops, doing all this shit. But then at the same time, like when my life started turning around, I still went that hard and out of balance, but now I'm doing it with like good shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy
and
how that works
exactly
out.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me, is I was running just as hard that I do now into the negative stuff, into, you know, achieving my two felonies and multiple misdemeanors. you know, but then like you said, when I shifted, I went and figured out, okay, well, I'm going to get, back then it wasn't healthy. I was like, I'm just going to straighten out my life.
Yeah.
But I did with the same speed and, you know, if you want to call it anger and tenacity, I did that I was doing the other stuff. And I did. And I ended up, you know, graduating. I call it graduating. I dropped out of school in the 10th grade mm-hmm. because life for me was not progressing fast enough. Mm. So I had a job over my 10th grade year, and I was making a stupid amount of money. I was working like 12-hour shifts. And when it was time to go back to school for the 11th grade, I was like, this just doesn't make sense. You know, and I don't mean to get on the school system kick, because I've been on a kick with.
I talk about it a lot too. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I looked at it and I'm like, how is this going to benefit me? How is me going to the school for 8 hours, going, standing in line, switching classes, all these breaks, you know, hanging out with these kids at lunch? For me, it just didn't make sense. I was like, this is not progressing me in life. So I went and got my GED and then ran forward with it. And then, you know, then I was like, okay, wait a minute. Is this all it is, life? Just work and make money? I was like, I need a life of adventure. Enter the Marine Corps.
Q adventures. But I think what's so cool about you is that you even mentioned the felonies and stuff. And that's one of the things that resonated with me. Thank God I didn't have any felonies, but I had a lot of, like, I've ended up in back of cop cars and a lot of close calls.
You didn't get caught.
So
you're a better criminal than I was.
I occasionally got caught. I didn't get charged.
There you go.
I don't know if it makes me better or worse, you know, because I got, or it doesn't matter. But I think what's cool is that, like, you had all of those things. That's not cool. But what is cool is that you had all those front prerequisites in life, and you still went into the military. And
you have to own it, right? Like, I owned it. Yeah. I owned where I was at. I owned mistakes, and I owned everything that I did was on me. I didn't blame anybody else. Mm-hmm. And you own it and you move forward.
So, but didn't you get turned down from the Marines the first time you tried to go in?
Oh my goodness.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't get turned down the first time. I got turned down for like 2 years.
So that's crazy. Yeah. Cause like, we were talking for a second offline, and I was like, I love focusing on career transition. I got out of the Navy after 9 years last year, and it was really hard for me. And I see that it's a lot of hard for junior sailors or anybody in the military and people that have been in for a while. And so I think it's kind of cool to see that, you know, you've had this mindset of owning it, and you still, not only did you transition out of all the bullshit that you were getting yourself into the military, but you've also done that successfully to get out. But I think like the transition, because a lot of guys actually and girls ask me about going to the military, which branch, which units, and I'm sure you get similar questions too.
I love those questions.
You know, but that's like its own, and I'm just actually thinking about this as I'm talking to you, is like that that's its own career transition, is going into the military or just wherever you're going. But how did you deal with like that denial for 2 years?
Oh, it pissed me off.
You didn't want to quit? You know, like what separates you there? What separates you? I want to hear your mindset.
So here's the thing, is like I have this character flaw where if you tell me no, it just like I just get a fire lit under me. And it's almost to a dangerous point to where I will scorch heaven and earth to either prove you wrong or to get what I want. So, and my wife has learned this now that she doesn't tell me no, like flat out no anymore, because she knows I just get totally like
just across the board.
Fixated across the board. So she like navigates the waters a little bit to like, well, you know, I think that this, and she like lays it all out. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then I don't do it. But if she would have just said, like when she used to tell me like early in our days, flat out no, oh my God, it was like, it just went nuclear. Like we would have a nuclear argument. So that's the same concept. Like when they told me no, they did something without knowing.
Yeah,
they just made my whole life mission to prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I have a very funny video that I did for my undergrad, and you might have watched it, the Who I Am as a Filmmaker video.
I've seen it. It's really good.
Which is hilarious.
It's funny,
because,
too.
Like, the quick thing about, you've done, what do you think, you kid? You've done drugs. You got felonies. You're not smart enough, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so by doing that, it just became my life mission. I quit the job that I was making, like, it was anywhere from like $8K to $10K a month, most of it cash, as like a 16, 17 year old.
That's insane.
Lived on the beach, had my own life. You know, I wasn't even 18. I lived on the beach, had my own life and friends, and it was a whole ordeal. But that's what kind of led me to like, there has to be something more. This can't be the rest of my life, just working and making money.
But you asked the question too. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's what happened was they told me no. I made it my life's mission, and I set out to prove them wrong. So I nuked that job. I nuked the house. I moved out of that house and ended up moving in with my grandmother so I could go to college.
Yeah.
So what would be my senior year of high school, I was actually a freshman in college. I went to start doing community service. I had over 100 letters of recommendation. So this is like, so anybody is watching, like listening to this, and they say, well, like, how can you join the military and you had felonies? The thing was, one, it was, you know, you got to think this was in 1998 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ended up joining in 2000, but this was a 2-year process. So there's a different time. I don't know what it, you know, 100% the way it is now, but back then, and even now, I tell people like, well, I have a felony, they won't let me join. Well, why should they? You're not a qualified candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you're going to prove them wrong,
mm-hmm,
and show them like they have nothing to gain, but you have everything to gain, you know? So like, mm-hmm, if you have a history and they say no, prove them wrong, show them that you're worth it. And that's the mindset that I went into it. I was like, I'm going to prove to these recruiters and this RS station that I am worth being a Marine,
mm-hmm,
that they deserve to give me a chance because of X, Y, and Z.
Wow.
So that was my two year mission, was to go to school, you know, which negates your GED, right? Now I'm a college student. Mm-hmm. I've got, you know, a couple semesters of college under my belt. So it negates the high school diploma. I had to take the ASFAB like multiple times because you needed, you can't have any score. You have to have above a certain score if you had a GED.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take the ASFAB multiple times. I got over 100 letters of recommendation. Anybody I did community service for, anybody that I did anything for, I proved to them,
mm-hmm,
here's a stack of people that it wasn't randos. It was people that knew me, that had either I had worked for or they had known me in life, post, you know, me getting in trouble. And then without even being in the depth platoon or whatever, I showed up to every event.
Wow.
I was part of that community. That didn't have to be there. Wow. There's no requirement to be there. But for me, it was like, I'm going to show up on Saturday and I'm going to give everything I have. And I'm going to be motivated because I'm going to show to these guys. And you know how they, like, the officers come out and they view stuff and they would see me there crushing it. So when it came time for all these packages to go through and all these waivers that I, because I needed a ton, the CEO that I had to interview was more comfortable saying, yeah, I'm going to put my name down in this and give this kid a shot.
He sees your face. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what I tell young guys and women, like, if you have a past where you're getting told no, if you want to serve your country and you're getting told no because you fucked up, right? You're the one that made the mistakes, not the military. You did. So you need to own it and then make up for it. Prove to them that you're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. That was my whole 2-year mission.
It's super impressive. And that's something that you completely choreographed, or did you have a mentor during this time?
No, man, I was already moved out. I mean, I had some good people in my corner at that point in my life. But there was no one that was like, Nick, this is what you need to do.
Yeah. But that's impressive to me because I was a shithead, for lack of a better word, when I was that age. I mean, like I said, we shared similar but very different occurrences. And like, I think it was only because of my dad that I joined the Navy. You know, he helped guide me towards that because I was just literally so selfish and I was doing all those dumb things. And
you were like, you need to join the service and go serve your country. Yeah.
He's an old timer. He was a Vietnam vet. So I think he knew like what I needed. 100%. And he probably saw himself in me a little bit too. But I think that's pretty cool that you formulated that and like got all those. I mean, 100 is not a couple people that were like, yeah, he's good. 100 is so many people. And to go out there, and I think that's another great point that you said that you tell other people, is to get your face out there, because like when they saw those 100 papers, like, so what? Like, I don't know who this is. It's just another paper, just another name. But if you're going out there and you're like actually doing the work and you're doing it and you don't have to be there, I think that's applicable to so many situations. That's fantastic advice.
Yeah, and I had something to prove, right?
So like, so you definitely did. You definitely did, and you have that same mentality. Like, it's a common theme in your life so far through this conversation. Is that like somebody tells you no, you really want to prove them wrong? And I have the same thing. I finished high school, but I dropped out of college. I thought I knew what the hell I wanted to do. I dropped out of college, dropped right into the Navy, and
which I support that, by the way.
Which part of that? The dropping out of college?
Yeah, especially if you're paying for it. I have a heart.
I was paying for it
with the school system.
Me too. And I talk about it a lot, and I try not to, like, I think you kind of mentioned it too. Like, I try not to overwhelm the listeners how I feel about it. Yeah. And I always like saying, like, so there are certain people that I want to go through college, like my doctor or, you know, things like that. You know, like if you want to be a profession that requires that, then maybe so. But if you don't really know what you want to do, I think you're just wasting money and you're wasting your time. Like you kind of mentioned, you were wasting your time in high school. And to me, that's crazy that you already had your mind kind of turning like that. You're like, I'm just literally bullshitting and doing this kind of stuff. And it's grown up daycare. So to have that mentality early, like to me, it seems like, and all our lives are very unique and different, but you grew up a little bit quicker than I did. And you had these ideas and you formulated this massive plan to be able to like prove everybody wrong and get into the military. And then obviously you didn't just join the Navy, or I'm sorry, join the Marines, but you went out there and you went to like high-end units and you excelled in those units. Yeah. So I think that whole mentality of like go, go, go is totally you all the way through.
Yeah, I think that life is just like, you know, life is a, if you're going to be successful, you are trying to level up at every given point.
Yes, absolutely.
And I actually just gave a talk to the Chiefs Association of Oregon. So all the chiefs of the state, police chiefs of the state.
Wow.
And I was talking about being uncomfortable, right? And this is something that I've really been like kind of diving into recently. And if you are comfortable, if you're in this circle that is your comfort zone, you are stuck. You are never going to grow, right? So I try to maintain this level of this uncomfortable situation. I'm always a little nervous. I'm always a little scared.
Yeah.
And I'm always putting myself out there a little past my reach, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Because I'm pushing the envelope. And I'm always thinking that everything could just completely collapse at any given moment because I'm pushing so hard. I could sit back and let everybody do their thing around here and not push the envelope, and we'll just stay right where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
We won't grow. And one of the analogies that I give is like, we all, like most successful people go and do some sort of physical fitness, right?
Sure.
What happens when we go on a run and we do physical fitness? If we want to get better, if we want our muscles to grow, if we want to be faster at running, you have to push it and you get real uncomfortable, right?
Yes.
It sucks. It doesn't feel good, but that's where the growth happens. So if you go to the gym, like you go to Planet Fitness and you're having your coffee and you're talking to everybody, like, hey, what's going on? You do a couple sets, have a couple sips and you're talking and then have some pizza on the way out. Like that's not growth. That's not pushing the envelope, you know? So that, I think that is what I started to realize is I have always been uncomfortable with being comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that could be from my youth. That could be just how I'm wired. But anytime that I get comfortable or stagnant, I start to kind of freak out.
Yeah.
And then,
we're really similar. We're really similar.
And then, I'll start another business. I'll get another idea and I've got to keep myself, my wife's got to keep me in check a little bit, but because I will almost like go too far out there just because I'm starting to feel comfortable. You know what I mean?
I do.
So it's good. If you want to be successful, you have to get uncomfortable and you have to like get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
So how do you, like when you were speaking to all these people in that state, what did you tell them to kind of like, if they were in the state of feeling comfortable, being comfortable, like what are some ways to work out of that and try to like, how do you select how to get yourself out of that?
So that's like, it's so broad, right? So like, for instance, let's talk about your like relationships.
Sure.
Right. Like, sure. Let's like a relationship. When's the last time you've sat down with your significant other and had a real uncomfortable conversation about feelings,
mm-hmm.
you know, or had a real uncomfortable conversation about problems that you guys are having and what bothers you and why it bothers you and where you're struggling. Do you think having that conversation is comfortable? It's much easier just to accept it. You're right.
Yeah.
It's easier just to be like, that's how they are. And I'm just going to accept it. And then I'm just going to swallow this fruit and then drill deep and push it real deep and not have to deal with it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's much harder to like sit down and saying, hey, you were treating me this way, or you did this thing and I'm struggling in our relationship because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, one of two things happen, right? You either start heading down a road of getting out of a relationship that maybe you don't need to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or you're strengthening the relationship.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great example.
But just being status quo is you're not going to do it. Okay, what, like for those guys, it was like, when's the last time that you showed your appreciation or told your squad that you love them,
mm-hmm.
right? A police chief's telling your captains, lieutenants, and sergeants that, hey, I love you guys and I want what's very best for you. And how can I support you to make sure that you're healthy and whole and that your families are healthy and whole?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a very hard job.
Yeah.
When do you talk? When do tough guy A-type personalities and you can say this was soft. When's the last time you sat down with your team, told them how much you cared about them, and then like let's get real uncomfortable about some intense conversations.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about traumatic brain injury. Let's talk about post-traumatic stress. Let's talk about feelings. Yeah. You know, that's
absolutely
growth.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about leadership or even executive leadership, when you do that, when you get real uncomfortable and real honest with your people, that I feel like that's where true people, like if they are willing to accept the challenge of being uncomfortable and being honest with you, I feel like that's where you really create that bond, right?
Yes.
Now either they're not ready and they won't do it, and then that's on them. They'll self-sabotage. Yeah. They'll continue to have that cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you come at them with that, right, and they're willing to do that, that's where growth happens. That's where you can move past things. That's where you can start to grow. Mm-hmm. And when individuals or a group of individuals allow themselves to do that, that's going to be an amazing thing. Your unit, your team, whether it be for business, whether it be for military, or whatever it is going to be that much stronger.
And I couldn't agree more with you. All the examples, especially like relationships. My wife, we do that all of the time. And it's actually like, I'll use myself as an example. I love doing that through Instagram and through the podcast. Like I just said last night, so this is going to come out a couple weeks afterwards, of course, but I just got my first job out of the Navy a year ago, and it's better than I ever could have thought, ever. And I just quit it. Like, and it's funny because it reminded me of you. You said you quit an 8 to 10K month job, and that to like from the outside, that seems absurd. It seems like you had some screws loose, and it's so crazy. So to be able to have those conversations with my wife, like, hey, this is what I'm thinking and this is why, because I'm really someone in fact too, like I want better things. I want to do so much shit and I get so uncomfortable. So to use a relationship, that was your first example, as an example is really good, because that is probably one of the emotional or the most emotional examples I could think of. Like things get heated. People aren't even listening to the words. They're just listening to the tones and all this shit. So it's like,
right.
I think if you can do it with your relationship, then you can do it in a lot of other places. Cause when you're doing it with your squad, your teammates, your coworkers or whomever, that can be a lot less emotionless in that sense of you don't have that much of attachment. But I think if you're doing it in all these situations, then that's very healthy. And that you mentioned leadership, bar none. Like, I think that's great leadership to be able to actually, like, who is a manager if not a leader? And then who is a leader if you don't care for the individuals that you work with or that you want to lead? You know, I think that's such a great example.
Between a boss, that's between a boss mm-hmm. and an actual
sure.
leader.
Absolutely.
I think we throw this term leader around a little too loosely.
Okay.
You know, there is the people that just, you show up and you execute tasks and you like, that's just a boss. That's not a leader.
Yeah.
You're not leading people to anything. You're not coaching them. You're not improving them. You're not investing in them. You're not leading them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically checking off boxes and making sure they get tasks done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to say I'm going to be a leader, well, now you've committed to something even greater.
Yes. Yeah.
Now you have a responsibility to people around you.
Yeah. And that's a huge divide. I've had both bosses. I've had both leaders, probably like everybody listening to this, and you yourself included.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So to be able to define yourself, I think that's even a bigger purpose. And I love talking about that. And you're obviously massive on helping other people too, with all the content that you share and just the conversations that we're having like right now for other people to listen to. Is I always struggled with, you know, like I told you, I dropped out of college. I thought I didn't like learning. And it wasn't until I had this like educational epiphany in my mid-20s did I realize I'm obsessed with learning. So like, again, we're tipping that spectrum to the other end. And I'm like reading books. I'm having these conversations. I'm listening to podcasts. Like there's not a moment where I'm not like trying to do something like that.
And that's exactly why the system, the current education system is broken. And because young men and women think that, right?
They're not doing
well, they're not exceeding in college, they're not exceeding in school, and they go, well, I just don't like to learn.
That is me. That's why these conversations are so important, Nick. These conversations are so important. These conversations could be uncomfortable as well. Some people would be like, well, I don't subscribe to that, and that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, but I would encourage you to do your due diligence and at least have these conversations outwardly and consider the other topics and the other points. And that's one of, like, there's a million reasons I started this podcast, but one of the reasons is to talk about what we're just talking about now. Cause I'm like, if I would have known, and I know it's like, I take responsibility. Yeah. I take ownership. You mentioned ownership. Ownership's so important, but I want to at least enlighten people and give people examples of you do have that option again. Like you can go down path A, but there's also path B, and it's infinite.
Oh,
that's a great point. No, that's a great point. I'm glad you say that. It's not just A and B. It's not nothing is ever black and white. If I've learned anything from, you're the 97th guest I've talked to, and I love being able to compare what is said and what isn't said, and there is an infinite amount of paths and is not black and white at all. And I kind of know my mindset of being able to walk away from a high paying job. I'm kind of more curious on like, what was your mindset of being able to leave that behind? Because this was pre-military, right?
Yeah. So
you're going the other way, you know?
Yeah. It was just goals. And I, you can't buy happiness.
It's true. Not everybody believes it. I guess you kind of have to experience it, right?
You have to experience that. And you can have all the money in the world, and if you're not happy, it's worth nothing.
Sure.
It's worth absolutely nothing. And granted, you know, if you look at this from a large scale thing, there's a median with it.
Mm-hmm.
So like you cannot have enough and it'd be really shitty. You can have just a little bit, be super happy. You can have a ton and be just miserable, right? So it's all about, it's like when I talk about HRT and testosterone, it has nothing to do with the range, low testosterone or high testosterone. It has nothing to do with it. It's how you feel. It's your symptoms, right? So if you look at life, it's about what symptoms are you experiencing? Are you happy or not? You know, are you content or not? Do you want more in life? Then you have to work for it. I wanted more in life. I've always wanted more. I've always wanted to level up, which means I have to work for it. Nothing is ever given. No, I'm not entitled to anything. You know, I deserve everything I work for. If I work hard and I go buy a new car, I worked for that. Yeah. If I, you know, work hard and we want to expand the business or we want to build another business and use the money that we earned selling products to people that I made and did, then like I deserve that because I actually put into it. And, so yeah, I think that's really kind of what it came down to is I wanted more than what I was, what I had in life.
Yeah.
You know, and that more didn't revolve around money. That more revolved around life itself.
Yes.
I wanted more out of life.
Yes. I love that.
And that's what drove me down that path.
Yep. That's one of the first things you said during this very conversation is you said, there has to be more. There has to be more. And that's like, you said it a few times and are you able to, like you kind of said this in the beginning, but are you really able to be fully appreciative and in full gratitude of the things that you do have? Because I think you kind of mentioned it before, and I'm not sure the verbiage you said it, but you're like, I'm always looking for more. But I mean, how does one, not just you, of course, but how does one, how do you embrace that?
I would say just now, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm always ready to level up today and tomorrow and the next day.
I do not doubt
but
it.
I look around what we have now, what we've built, what the businesses that we have, the team that we have, we're about to have, knock on wood. Well, when this comes out, I'll probably know if my wife is pregnant. We've been going through an IVF cycle. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah. Very exciting. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when this comes out, we should know if we're pregnant. So there's a lot of awesome things that are happening in my life that I just sit back and go,
yes,
you know, this is amazing. Yeah. You know, I have an amazing house. I have an amazing team. I have amazing friends. All our businesses are profitable. I'm happy. I'm a happy guy.
You got what you wanted, man.
And I got what I want. Yeah. Right. And that does not mean that I'm going to sit here and just enjoy it. I sit here and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. I am building something over the next 10, next 20 years. I'm building something that is a foundation for success for a lot of people.
I love that.
And this is going to have what I'm doing today, what the conversation that we're building today is building a foundation for people that don't even know me yet to be successful in their life.
Nice.
And I'm starting that now.
Man, I wish I want to keep you longer, but I love that you think on that term. I'm thinking 10, I'm thinking 20, I'm thinking 30. You're thinking generations. You're thinking past all of that, you know. It's not just, you know, in conclusion, it's not just about you. Like we said, you know, I love being able to extend out and share that, enlighten people, give them options. Know that there are even options out there, you know, and there are infinite options.
With what you're saying right there, people need to get real comfortable with understanding that their life is like a book, right?
Sure.
Your life is like a book and every portion of your life has a different chapter.
Okay.
Some people get really stuck in one chapter and they don't want to turn the page to that chapter to another one. Like for instance, the military.
Yeah.
That's a chapter.
Yes. It's hard to close that one.
And people get stuck.
Yes.
Yeah. People get stuck in that chapter and they don't want to close it and start writing the next one. Because they think this might have been the greatest chapter of my life. And if that's the case, that's really freaking sad.
Yeah.
You know, so you have the balls, close that chapter and start writing the next one and make the chapter that you're writing right now the best chapter of your life.
Thank you. That was amazingly said. Amazingly said, Nick. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time. Before we get out of here, where can everybody find you?
My name. Good luck in spelling it. But if you type in Nick, K-O-U, I'm everywhere.
Kamalasa, right? Yeah.
I'm trying to be in your face at all times. Yeah.
Nick, like I said, I really appreciate it. The depth and the breadth of this conversation was really exciting and knowledgeable, and I'm glad we could have it and share it with other people. So thanks so much for coming on.
You're very welcome. My honor.
All right, see you later.